Today, just like every day, some 10,000 baby boomers will reach retirement age, which means they're eligible to take their Social Security benefits. But should they? A new book tries to answer that question. It's called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Its authors are Lawrence Kotlikoff, a Boston University economics professor, Paul Solomon, business and economics correspondent for PBS NewsHour, and retirement expert Philip Moeller. We've got Lawrence Kotlikoff and Paul Solomon with us in the studio. Welcome to you both.
Well, nice to be here.
Great to be with you.
Well, and let's start with how this idea came about, because you get into it in the book, and it's so funny. You were talking about your Social Security, Paul.
Right. We were playing tennis. We stopped playing tennis. Well, it's our approximation of tennis. Okay. You wouldn't want to really call it tennis. And Larry likes to interject, and he says, hey, what are you doing about Social Security? What are you and Jan, your wife, doing about Social Security? And I... Hey, don't worry about it. Larry, you got it all figured out. I'm an economics correspondent. Surely I have taken care of that. And so we're going to wait until 70. We're both waiting. We're roughly the same age. We're going to wait until 70, and then we get the maximum possible benefit.
Be as patient as possible, and you'll get a better benefit.
Absolutely. I've got it all figured out. And Larry says...
Paul, how old are you, and how old is Jan?
And we're just about 66 at that point. I told you, we're waiting until 70, and you said...
If you take me to dinner, I will make you $50,000 in the next 2 minutes.
Now, we're beyond skepticism at this point, even though I know the guy's a world-class authority on Social Security, but he's also somewhat boastful. So I say, right. I mean, I don't mind buying the dinner, mind you, anywhere in the world if it's anything close to $50,000. But I say, what are you talking about? And he says...
There are free spousal benefits that you can get, full spousal benefits, and all you have to do is have one of you file for the retirement benefit and immediately suspend it so it doesn't affect your ability to take the highest benefit at 70, and the other of you will just file for a spousal benefit, and you'll get half of that first spouse's full retirement benefit right through age 70. So in Paul's case, it's around $12,500 per year that he was able to collect on Jan's work record. He was the one to file just for a spousal benefit, and Jan filed and suspended.
And you paid for dinner.
Oh, yeah. Actually, he wouldn't let me. I said, we can go anywhere. I mean, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. But it was Clio, I think. Yes.
Well, there is a lot there, and I want to get into what you just said. File and suspend. What does that mean?
That means you file for your benefit. You tell Social Security, I'm taking my retirement benefit, but then you can instantly suspend it. You can say, put it on hold, and I've just done this in order to let my dependents collect on my work record. And
because
I'm
they
wait.
Can't collect until you have filed.
Exactly.
But then you're not actually doing anything to your own benefits that you'll be able to collect later because you've suspended.
Right. You can wait till 70 to collect your own benefit. Now, this is the right strategy for Paul and Jan, but it's very different for different people. You could have a husband who's, let's say, 63. I'm telling you about an exact actual case. A wife is 45. They have a child who's disabled. And the wife is no longer working because she's going to stay home and take the child.
Take
care of the child, yeah. So it's optimal in their case for the husband to actually start benefits early at 63 in order to activate a child benefit for the child and a child and care spouse benefit for the wife. And then when the dad at 60, who's now 63, hits full retirement age, which is 66, he'll suspend his benefit and start it up again at 70. So he'll take a reduced benefit because he's going to start it early, but then he'll offset some of that problem by suspending and starting up again. And that act of suspending his benefit won't keep the child and the wife from continuing to collect on his record.
And this is the whole point of the book. I mean, it's so complicated. It's, you know, here we are just starting out, and already we've got something that your mind is spinning,
yeah,
trying to follow.
And one of the things that you learn from this is when you think about Social Security and your Social Security and preparing for the future, you shouldn't just be thinking about your Social Security. You should be thinking about your spouse's Social Security. You should even be thinking, Paul Solomon, about if you were married to somebody and then divorced, you might be able to get some of their benefit as well.
Or the divorced person would be able to get some of your benefit, right, as long as you've been married 10 or more years. This is something that when I talk to people, again and again, they look at me like I'm, you know, I have a third head or something. What are you talking about? I say, hey, look, if you were married to so-and-so for, as some of my friends had been for 10 years, you are eligible in this case for Richard's, half of Richard's benefit. Well, his ex-wife had absolutely no knowledge of this at all, as, of course, I had no knowledge of spousal benefits until Larry apprised me of them.
But is it generally the right thing to do to wait as long as possible? Is it usually the right thing to do to say, I'm going to wait till I'm 70 to start taking my benefits?
It is for a lot of people the right thing to do to wait to retirement age, because your benefit at 70 over and above any adjustment for inflation is 76% higher than taking it at 62. And almost everybody is taking their benefits the minute they stop working.
Because they haven't saved anything else usually.
Well, there's a lot of that. But also there's people that even have saved who are being encouraged either by Social Security or by somebody else or by their own brain saying, gee, if I don't take the money right now, I could die and therefore I'll not have collected the money. But what we point out in the book is that if you die, you're taken care of because you're going to go to heaven, right? Everything's taken care of for you there and you don't really need money. The real danger with respect to life is living. And in this case, it's living to 100. So what you really want to do is protect yourself not against dying and not getting your benefits, because you don't need money in that context. But what you really want to do is protect yourself against living to 100 and being stuck to eating cat food. So getting a 76% higher check every month, month after month from age 70 to age 100 sounds pretty good compared to the alternative.
Less than 2% of Americans wait until 70 to take their benefits, and almost half take them at age 62. Many probably need to, but it's impossible for us to imagine that only or less than 2.5% should be waiting.
At what point do you have to take them?
Well, at 70, there's no gain from waiting to collect your retirement benefit. After full retirement age, there's no advantage to wait to collect your spousal benefit or your widower benefit. And we're talking in terms of the maximization of your lifetime benefits about a lot of money. So for a high-earning couple that's age 60 right now, if they do the typical thing, which is just take the benefits at age 62 and that's that, they're going to end up with about $1.2 million in present value lifetime benefits, $1.2 million. Whereas if they do the optimal strategy, which involves this filing and suspending for one and the other one collecting full spousal benefits, and then they both take their benefits at 70, the retirement benefits, they're going to end up with $1.6 million. So there's a $400,000 increase in lifetime benefits with no risk.
I mean, it's crucial for people who have less. You know, we're talking about middle class, upper middle class people.
There's some might have a 401k or something on the
side.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, who have – right, exactly. Right. And so for us, for my family, this is, you know, this is extra, although we've paid into the system all these years. So we certainly deserve it in some – certainly in a legal sense or otherwise. But for a couple that's poor or not well off, Social Security is a higher percentage – the benefits are a higher percentage of what they earned than for higher income people. And so this can be a huge difference even though it's less total money for that couple than for anybody who's reasonably well off.
You know, some people may hear this and go, isn't this wrong to be trying to game the system in this way, to try to get everything? Your book's called Get What's Yours. But, you know, if you're trying to get this ex-spouse's benefits and your benefits and your disabled kid's benefits, there's so many.
So here's the thing. Why would it be fair for some segment of society at a certain income level to get the interest, the mortgage interest deduction, and others not get it because they didn't know about it? Our view is that if we have a law that allows people to get certain benefits and forces people to pay certain taxes, everybody should get what's coming to them, all the benefits that are coming to you, that are due to you.
What convinced me is the argument that it shouldn't be a question of whether or not you know Larry Kotlikoff, right? The only reason I got this and my friends, whom I told about it, is because I happen to know him, and he's a world-class Social Security maven.
So if there's somebody listening to this going, well, what should I do? I need to know what I should be doing with my own benefits. Where should they go? Should they go to the Social Security office?
You can't rely on the Social Security office because there are almost 3,000 rules in the handbook, in the manual. And you can't expect the people who are overwhelmed in Social Security, who have to make an appointment to talk to you on the phone, for example, to know all these rules. Some do. Some don't. The woman I talked to when I did what Larry had suggested said to me, wait a second, I have to check with a supervisor. She couldn't have been nicer, honest to goodness. She was fabulous. She came back and she said, yes, you can do this. You can do the thing where your wife has filed and suspended and now you can. She said, thank you. I said, thank me? She said, because I'm going to tell clients from now on. Okay, so if you get that woman, you're great. And if you know Larry, and if you're Larry, you're good as gold. But otherwise, you're at an unfair disadvantage. And that's what we thought was unfair.
The book is called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Paul Solomon from the PBS NewsHour and Lawrence Kotlikoff, economist at Boston University. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, Jeremy.